Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 203, part 1, Wake Up. Today is Friday, July 15th, 2011. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And Pastor Paul's club is also located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, you're a senior 60 and older, or disabled with proof, you can come in to Pastor Paul's, register your household for monthly groceries. If you need more information, please call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 4 p.m. Thank you for joining the podcast. The month of July, these are the messages: Doors, I Am Says I Will, Wake Up, Melt Me, Fight On. There you have it, the podcast for the month of July. Be sure to join us every Friday for part 1 and every Sunday for part 2. Subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast and have a great month of July.
Tonight's message is entitled, Wake Up. A few weeks ago, we ministered about the children of Ephraim who turned back, you remember we said, in the day of battle. And I think we said if our obedience is active, if our obedience is sound and sincere, that you will suffer for Christ's sake. If you have an obedience that is active, so you can say yes, yes, and not do it. But an obedience that says yes, yes, and does it, it's active, and it's sound, and it's sincere, you'll suffer for Christ's sake. And you'll suffer willingly. And that's out of Psalm 78 and 9, that message a few weeks ago. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They were armed, just like Christians are armed, with bows, and it says they turned back in the day of battle. And why? You've got to go up a verse, 78 and 8. A generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Sometimes when you get in the thick of the battle, if your heart isn't steadfast and right with God, nothing happens. You certainly won't win the battle if you turn your back. You're going to get shot in the back. And so tonight, let me continue with another way we turn our back in the day of battle. That is, we fall asleep. Are you hearing this? Ephesians 5 and 14 says, Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You want light? You listening on the radio or this tape? Then you got to wake up. I think the important question here is, to whom is this text addressed? 9 out of 10 preachers that I've heard on this. It's taken as though it were addressed to the ungodly, but I'm not quite so sure. The more I thought about this, the more I was persuaded that it could be ministered to the ungodly, of course. But I believe here it is not intended to be a sermon to the unconverted, but the converted. Are you hearing this? It was addressed to the church at Ephesus, that it should not fall into the same habits as the children of darkness, but come out and show themselves as God's people. Now, there are a lot of people that will come up and whisper you, I'm Christian, I'm one of you. But they're not out there and they're not in the battle. And if they're not in the battle and they're not in the way, they're really walking in a type of darkness. They're a light and they've been saved, but they walk in sort of a semi-darkness. And I hear someone saying on the radio right now, well, we're not dead. We're considered alive. He is calling forth, I hear you say, the dead. To that I say, prove it. Prove to me that you're not dead. In other words, there might be a Christian over here and there's a whole lot of things going on and a whole lot of needs that must be met. A lot of work to be done. I mean, the harvest is out there. It's white for the harvest. And nothing is being done. And so Jesus asks the question, you have eyes, don't you see? You have ears, don't you hear? Now, I know it's true we can't be spiritually dead in the same sense as the unconverted. But I have no trouble at all with this as I see many who walk around in different stages of darkness. Sleepyheads. You ever hear that song, Sleepyhead? Do you sing that to the little one, Deb? Sleepyhead. Can't get out of bed. You ever sing that one? How are you ever going to get your Bible read? Oh, sleepyheads, can't get out of bed. How are you going to get your Bible read? I think there's a whole lot of sleepy people, sleepy Christians, even those that speak of themselves of being dead. They speak of the church as if it were a duty. They come to church like it was their duty to come to church. Oh, it's Sunday. Come on, let's get ready and go to church. And I think a lot of you people listening on the radio, if that's your attitude, you are most useless. It's just like you were asleep. I think it'd be safer for a whole lot of people if you really were asleep. Believe it or not, there are a whole lot of people that walk around the whole of the day and they're in some kind of a fog. Now, a Christian came in here today, and man, he was all dressed up in this. Now, nothing wrong with a suit, don't get me wrong. But he came in and he said, Brother, have you got time to talk to me? Now, this is at noon, and things were hopping. People were yelling and screaming for food. And I said, no, brother, I don't have time right now. I said, do you have time to help us right now? And then I'll have time to talk to you when we're done with this. Well, no, I don't have time. He says, I think that's the problem, that don't you think you're too busy with this ministry? Well, I said, what kind of a ministry would it be if it wasn't busy? Would you rather that I just open on, a Wednesday night and have a Bible study during the week, then open up on Sunday and Sunday night, then close it down for the rest of the week? No, you see, I am in a ministry that feeds the poor. Well, you can't feed everybody. I says, I know, that's why I close at 1 o'clock. Fire only cooks so much food. When it's out, it's out. But you see, sometimes when we see someone else busy, we get convicted in our own spirit. We say, don't you think you're doing too much? How many know that most times is the voice of the devil? You're doing too much for the kingdom of God. How can you do too much? Well, that's like a guy came to me one time. He says, you know what, brother, I have a revelation from God. And I said, well, what is that revelation from God? And I could just tell. And this guy was going to lay something on me that was not a God. Okay? So he said, well, here's the revelation. And it came to me one night when I was, I was ministering. And he says, we are no longer under the law. Now, see, this guy had a lot of time on his hands, and so the devil could talk to him all day long. The devil can't talk to me because I'm too busy. I'll get to you later. I might say that. I'll get to you later. I'll get mad later. I'll gossip later. I'll talk about people later. But by that time, I'm too tired and I can't do it anyway. But here's the revelation. We're not under the law, and so we don't have to tithe. Oh, I says, that's right. That does come out of the Old Testament. I says, that is quite a revelation. I says, that is so beautiful. I don't believe, brother. God is moving. I says, this is some. I says, you know what? I says, you're right. And he got sitting on the edge of his chair. Yep. Came to me the other night while I was preaching. I says, no, that's really true. I says, now you can give your life. You can give everything. You don't have to give a lousy 10%. But he couldn't even answer that. See, he was asleep and he was walking in a fog of his own self-made revelations. And so in a way, he was asleep, wasn't he? And so tonight I speak very boldly to the Church of Jesus Christ, which is in many cases dead and sleeping, in high hopes that I may arouse some of them. Dead and asleep to the needs of others. Dead and asleep to the daily revealed will of God. Dead and asleep to the move of the Holy Ghost. Dead and asleep when it comes to getting into the battle and into the thick of it. Dead and asleep to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are a dead, awake thou that sleepest. In other words, wake up. Now, if you're offended, you're listening on a radio, that's okay. Just put your pillow over your head, close your window, go back to sleep, roll over, hug up your pillow, rub your feet in the sheets, go back to doing nothing, but may some of you sleepers, the non-involved ones, Christians, awake. I think many of the unconverted are much more lively looking than you. Have you ever wondered about that? Sometimes you'll see somebody and they're so lively and there's a Christian over here and they don't look so lively. Now these people are supposed to be dead. They're more alive than the alive. I've had them down here and they'll come in here. They're drinkers and they swear. And they smoke. I don't condone any of that. They got all kinds of bad habits and things. They're dead. But they do more work than the ones that are alive. Because the ones that are alive are in sort of a fog. They walk around in sort of a spiritual fog. And you have to look at this and you have to say, my God, these people are dead. They look more alive than the alive ones. Who's alive and who's dead? And I think the problem is that we have a lot of us that are sleeping. And so I have to address this message tonight to the converted ones. And so first let us notice the state of mind into which a Christian may sometimes get. We all can get. We all may be genuine Christians and fall into this. You may even be asleep in a modified sense, even dead. So let me then begin in describing the state of mind by mentioning the insidious character of it. A Christian may be asleep and not even know it. Because, see, if he knew it, you wouldn't be asleep. And so you have to tell them, hey, you're asleep. And then they wake up and they know they're asleep. Sometimes you minister to audiences and they don't hear a word you're saying. They're asleep. You can ask them after the message, what was the message about? A key way to remember a message is remember the key words, and I think I shorten up your titles, preachers. Wake up! And then you tell the people three or four times during the message. The message is wake up, and then they can piece the thing together. You have a long, long, long title, and they say, well, gee, I don't know what it was about. I see. I know it was good. I know my heart leapt within me. But really, you'd be looking at them, and their eyes are open and everything, but they're asleep. They're daydreaming. When I was in school, I did a lot of that. And the teacher would drone on, and I would hear a voice. And I'd be looking out the window. Man, I could see myself walking down the railroad tracks. Pegging stones, jumping in the river, swimming in the river. I was everywhere but in that classroom. And it's the same way with us. We can daydream. We can be asleep. We can be so involved with ourselves we don't have time for anybody else. And I think the most boring thing there is to be involved with yourself. Did you know that, how boring you are? To yourself? See, when you really know yourself, you're a bore to yourself. Got to go where people don't know you. And you got to give your life. Freely, freely I've given unto you, freely given away. And what has Christ given you? He's given you life. So you have to give life away. You don't give death away, you give life away. You give works away, you give the fruit of the Spirit away, you give all these things away. A lot of times people think just the gifts are the fruit of the Spirit. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Fruit of the Spirit, really, and I'm talking spiritually here, is when you see someone that has a need and you meet that need in Christ's name. That's fruit. Because see, your flesh doesn't want to do that, but if you're led by the Spirit, you'll do it. I can always tell when I get in the flesh. Someone down there will ask me some question down in the mission. And I won't particularly like the question, and I might sound off. Well, now that's in the flesh. Sometimes it's in the Spirit. It depends on. Are you hearing this? But you can really tell when someone is awake, when they're awake in the Spirit, because they have a mind to work. They have a mind to meet the needs of people. It says in the end, God is going to raise up the low, base, perverted things of this world to confound the wise. Why is that? Because the other ones are asleep. These other ones are alive. They're looking for a way out of this hell hole. Scorching the seat of their pants. They want out. They're awake. They're alive, so to speak, in the flesh. But here we are. We're born again, born of the Spirit, and our flesh is dead. It's like we aren't even here. It's like we're already departed up yonder. Someplace in the frontal lobes of our mind, we have taken ourselves out of all this and we have conditioned ourselves not to even see the needs of people. And there'll be people out there in the world that'll see the needs of the people. But you know what? They also see the needs of the church, and that's why you see it on TV, how they'll make fun of the church. And you know, sometimes I have to agree with them. We are into so many things other than the move of the Holy Ghost. We're into all kinds of things. We're into politics. We're into vacation land. We're into trips here and trips there and seminars here and seminars there. And we're a bunch of sleepers walking into one seminar after another. Notebooks and tablets and pens and all that. And we go in there and we take all these notes down. For what? And here's these other folks that are dead. They're out there doing all this stuff, taking care of people, making records, feeding people in Africa. And what are we doing? We're sleeping. We're on boats going places, but we're sleeping. We're on airplanes and we're going to seminars, but we're sleeping. We're over in the tomb over there, but we're sleeping. What they should do with a lot of Christians that go over every year to go to the tomb is just roll a stone over in front of it again. Say amen. Now they don't even know if that's where the tomb is. They say maybe the bus was, maybe where the bus is going right here. Maybe that's where the, and now they're going to have a great big discussion on if the tomb is 50 or 75 feet away from where it really is. Who cares? See, they are the tomb. Say amen. People are tombs walking around. And so Christians may be asleep and not even know it. And I think some of you listening on the radio are in this very sleepy state of mind. But for this reason, you will not think so. Sort of a Galatians bewitched situation. Yes, I'm awake attitude. I'll do something when I get a witness. You ever heard somebody say that? I just don't get a witness on it. Now, here's somebody laying here, and they're starving, their bones and their ribs are showing, and their tongue is hanging out, and there's a fly circling them, and there's buzzards overhead and everything, and you have all these groceries with you and everything, and then you walk by and say, well, why didn't you feed the guy? Well, I just didn't get a witness. Why didn't you get a witness? Because they are asleep. Now, certainly this man that came in here, and we had 200-plus people in the first wave here today where we're feeding, and cook pots down there boiling forth food for the hungry, these great big vats. And all of these things going on. And it says, brother, could you give me a half hour of your time? I says, no. I says, could you give me a half hour of your time? I says, I need help right now. Would you mind scraping a few dishes or something? I mean, take your coat off and turn it around backwards and tie it around your waist and let's get going here. He didn't stay very long. He sleepwalked right out of here. Huh? See, it's like they don't hear you. You ever been in that? It's like your kids. They don't hear you. Why don't they hear you? Let's just fashion this as children. It's the same way we're children of the kingdom of God. Unless you come as a child, you'll always make it to the kingdom of God, right? Kingdom of heaven. Okay, the same way with your kids, isn't it? They don't, didn't you hear me? Now this is the last time I'm going to tell you. Has that ever happened to you? Oh, of course it has. How many got kids and you've done that with them? This is the last time I'm going to tell you. And then you tell them 14 more times? Well, what do you suppose is wrong with them? They are sleeping. They are so used to your voice. They are so used to the call. They are so used to you just, you know, giving them grace after grace after grace. They know exactly they can get by with murder. So they go on, and that's the same way with us. We know that we are saved, saved, saved. And so when the call comes, and when Jesus speaks to our heart to do something, it's like we're asleep. We've heard the gospel message so much that we're asleep, and we've heard the call to duty so much that we're sleeping. And so we sort of walk around in sort of a fog-like. Well, isn't that true about your kids? They pull that. They don't get a witness to move away from the TV, do they? You know when they get a witness? Now they got a witness. A first-hand witness. How many hearing this? Or if you yell, get up! Now they heard you. But if you walk out of the room, you say, well, what got into her? Sit right back down again. Isn't it hard to wake them up? I mean, so they'll do what you want them to do? And so they're sitting up, and they look like they're awake, but they're really asleep. And it's the same way in the Christian camp. We can look like we're awake, but we're really asleep. And we go about the motions of this, and we go about the motions that come in church, and we go about the motions. And praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah, sister. How are you? I'm fine, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Huh? They're sleeping. They are really sleeping. You could tell them anything. Say, praise the Lord. I got my leg cut off the other night. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Does it sound silly to you? It's the truth. Then they go on, you say, yeah, and then one of my ears fell off. Oh, yes, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I hope I'm getting to you, you on the radio. I probably just woke you up, maybe you didn't hear none of it, I don't know. Well, they don't really see the needs of people. They don't want to see the needs of people. All they need to see, they think, is their own wants. Well, I need this and I need that. And how about me? How about me? Have you ever heard that? I wish somebody would do that for me. Here's a guy who comes down here, you know, and he has all kinds of money. And he's seen all these vegetables and fruits and meats and so on like that. And he says, I wish someone would give me a free bag of groceries. I says, give me all of your money and I'll give you a free bag of groceries. Sell all that you have and give to the poor. And we will give you a sack of groceries. A bonus bag also. Okay, forgive me, God. That's the way I am. Are you hearing this? What was wrong with him? He was asleep. I mean, this guy had, the guy that he was looking at, had a blowout in the seat of his pants, all right? And he had a little toe. He had to cut his shoe away here to get it through because they were too tight. And then the other side was cut like that. And these bunions were sticking out there. You know what I mean? And he had this shirt on that was too tight. Needed a haircut. Was clean and everything, you know, but he just didn't have a job. I wish someone would give me a bag of groceries. Like, look at them tomatoes, why? I hope these people really appreciate this. And just before coming in, he was standing in the parking lot. He come up. He was about this tall. Well, he was Man Mountain Dean, you know, he couldn't even get through the door. Brother, I'm from the so-and-so-and-so-and-so, and we come up from up north up there, and we're sitting up camp down here in Minneapolis. One thing I see down here, I'm really having a hard time dealing with it. No one has a job. I believe people should work. You make people work when they come in here? I said, no, I haven't got time to train everybody in for every little job that's in this ministry. I don't need 35,000 people that I deal with. How would they ever put them all to work down here? Well, I'm having a hard time dealing with that. I says, oh, we're going to give people this and give them that, but by golly, they're going to go to work. And so I looked at the fellow who was with. I says, how long have you been down here on the north side? He says, 4 days. I says, I've been down here 7 years. I says, maybe you better stay here a while before you start flapping your jaws. You know what I mean? Then I turned and I walked quickly into the kitchen because Man Mountain Dean might get mad. You know what I mean? I'm no fool, all right? And I hope you're listening. How many are hearing this? See, and it's a time to be bold and say, wake up! Stop all this nonsense and just wake up! Now, such Christians in the world are never, ever, ever accused of being a Jesus freak, or a fanatic, or gone, or fools who work for no pay. Hey, did you realize what a fool you are working for no pay? Marty, now I already confronted you about coming down. Wow. And you fell for it. And that's what people think. They think, Oh, man, he suckers this guy into coming down, and he suckered old Mike to coming down using his, busting the springs in that little old van of his, that Volkswagen van. Man, this guy's something else. If you see that guy run on the other side of the street, right? Mm-hmm. Well, okay. See, but the Bible says, be a fool for Christ's sake. So you are fools for Christ's sake. Well, if you're a fool, you might as well be a fool for something, right? Okay, and then you're a fool for Christ's sake. Amen? Say amen, somebody. But they never accuse these people of being Jesus freaks or anything else because there's no evidence of life. Positively no evidence that they're really alive. You could take their pulse? I mean, if you could take a spiritual pulse, it would be so weak that they'd have to bring in these chest things. You know, they go, they plug it in the wall and go, yippee, huh? It's like they have no heart at all. Spiritual heart failure. And they just do damnable things to one another. And they get into games. Isn't there a song like that? The games people play now, night and day now, something like that. Do you ever get into the games? The world games? I know there's someone listening out there right now who's into games. Games people play. Girls and boys that go together, they play them games. Don't they? And the church plays those games with Jesus. Don't we? Sometimes we do. We play games, okay, Lord. That's the way you feel about it. Hmm? So we don't come home all night, spiritually speaking, and we don't turn up for like a week because we're mad at our first love, Jesus. And games. We take it right into the spiritual realm, just like we did before when we were in the flesh. But anyway, there are no evidences of life. And so they don't confront them at all. They're looking all over for Christians. Man, if they went hunting for Christians and they had to go by evidences, they'd go out hunting all night. Going out and kill Jesus freaks. They go, oh boy, let me get a Jesus freak. And there'd be nobody carrying a Bible. There'd be no one saying, are you born again? They'd look all over, and they'd look here, and they'd look there, and under there, and up there, and down in cars, and they'd go into theaters, and they'd go all over the place. Well, you know what? I think they all moved out of town. We went into a lot of churches. We didn't see any Christians in there either. Why? No evidences of life. Don't say amen, say ouch. Woo! Oh, we're going to get some letters. You know why I say that? Because then I don't get any. Oh, sure, I won't send any. Now they'll send them. Now they won't. Send a telegram. But see, they're void of all movement. No signs of natural life, let alone spiritual life. See, you got to see movement to really know something is alive, right? Now, you can look at some Christians and there's no movement there. How do you ever know they're alive? Certainly not by evidences. I mean, if there were any spiritual doctors, half of the church would have to be pronounced dead on arrival. I'm having fun preaching this tonight. things you want to say, things you should say, things God prompts you to say. You don't say because you're a coward. Seems like I'm always a coward after the message. And so now many of you, fellow Christians, will not accuse you of being asleep because probably they are in a different state, dead. And you see them and they'll be walking around, or let's say we'll be walking around. Then it won't offend anybody. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. How you doing? Fine. That's it. That's it. How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Fine. No testimonies. No stories to tell. Nothing that would show there was any life whatsoever. Someone sleepwalking and say, how are you doing? And then the other person in their sleep says, fine. And then the other one in their sleep says, well, how are you doing? And they in their sleep say, fine. They are not awake. They are sleeping. Isn't that weird that there's a lot of people walking this earth and they're really not awake at all? They're sleeping? Not awake. Think about it. Think about it. The next time that you want to slumber and walk right with your eyes wide open and want to walk right by all of the things that God has prepared for us to do before the foundation of the world was even founded and walk right by that, we've got to be sleeping. Now, here's a danger. When you put a number of sleeping people together, wouldn't it be something if they had the sleeping saints choir? When they'd all get up and they'd snore, the snore choir. See, those snores are heard in heaven. That you don't hear them, but if you have spiritual ears and you listen very carefully, you will hear someone spiritually snoring whilst you are speaking to them. Listen very carefully and you will hear it. Huh? God hears those snores. God sees those sleepy hearts. And they're walking around like they're awake. You ever seen someone that sleepwalks? Aren't they weird? How many have seen people that sleepwalk? Aren't they weird looking? I mean, their eyes are all kind of glassy and they're walking around. Where are you going? Going to the bathroom. And they'll go over and get a drink of water. What are you getting? Don't let that coffee burn your lips. Oh, they're sleeping. They're not awake. And it's the same way when you talk to some Christians. How are you doing? Fine. How are you doing? Fine. And they wander back and sit down into their self again. And that's it. That's pretty weird, isn't it? And there's all kinds of things to do, but they're indifferent. Have you ever noticed how indifferent a person is when they're sleeping? They're indifferent to what you're saying. Aren't these pretty flowers? And they just sort of get that weird look on their face, and they're not awake. Aren't these pretty flowers? And they'll go, shake their head up and down. Not awake. Have you ever found yourself in that condition? I have. Awake, but not awake. Woo, talk about weird. Oh, people. Get a whole lot of them together. They're not very active in rebuking one another when they're all sleeping, are they? Listen, there's a whole bunch of bodies laying here in this. They don't rebuke each other. They don't challenge each other. How can a sleeping church challenge one another when they're sleeping? They don't challenge because they're asleep. They don't say, they don't fight with one another. You did this and I did that. There's no arguing. Everybody just sleeps. Did you ever notice how nice your kids are? They're sleeping and they're both fighting. You give me that truck. Oh, Mom, you pinched me, you hit me. You go in and they're sleeping. Aren't they nice when they are sleeping? Isn't Petey a nice little kid when he's asleep? Wasn't my little Debbie, wasn't she sweet whilst she was asleep? But ask him to do something when they're sleeping. They're indifferent. They just keep right on sleeping. They don't argue with you. They don't fight with you. They don't rebuke you. They don't call you names. They just don't do anything. That's the same way it is with Christians that are asleep, spiritually speaking. Now, you drop a quarter, they're awake quick enough. But they're asleep. It's the weirdest thing I ever saw in my life. You can minister to throngs. And they're asleep. You can say anything. You could say, boy, there sure is a big bunch. I'm talking about huge audiences. And when I had evangelizing was going out. And, not in the ghetto, but, in the place, high places, let's call them. And you would get out there, you could just say mumble jumble, mumble jumble, mumble jumble. Mumble jumble, mumble jumble, mumble jumble, jumble, mumble jumble. And furthermore, mumble jumble. And then you know what they'd say? In their sleep, they would say, amen. Amen. I know people that say amen every other word you say. I have to stop them sometimes. I had one guy sit in the audience and everything. I say, I went, amen, downtown, amen. And over, amen. I said, brother, let me say a sentence before you say amen, will you? Or say 100 of them, and then you'll be have them all done, and I can go ahead with what I'm going to say. See, he was really asleep. And at the different changes in the tone of my voice, he would say amen. So I could say anything. I could say, mumbo jumbo, amen. And then I just carry on in a monotone. Mumbo jumbo, 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 mumbo jumbo. Mumbo jumbo, amen. What's wrong? People are asleep. And they have little cliches and little spiritual things we say to one another. Praise the Lord. Like pets. Doesn't mean anything, we're asleep. Because if we were awake, we'd have something to praise the Lord about. If we were awake. See, you miss a lot when you're asleep. Somebody came in, they said, when did all this get done? Oh, I said, well, you were asleep. What do you mean? I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now I go, this guy really got uptight. Up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I don't go to bed until midnight. I didn't say you weren't up. I said you were asleep. I thought I was going to be cannibal stew for a minute, one of them big old pots. But it really was the truth that people are sleeping and so much goes on whilst they're sleeping. God help them. They're in a very perilous state. Did you ever work with a sleepwalker? Have you ever worked with someone that's walking in their sleep? You see, for instance, like on your job, Marty, bring me a hammer down there. They get down there. Didn't you hear me? I said, bring my hammer to me. I didn't hear you. Are you sure you said, bring the hammer down here? Yeah, I did. And they get back there, and they sleep back there, and they get down there, and they forgot what they got down there for. And they come back, and they're sort of in a daze, and they'll come back, and they'll say, what did you send me down there for? I forgot. They're asleep, I'm trying to say. And it's the same way in the house of God. We're in a very perilous time, in a very perilous state. When we're asleep, we're just in the way. Have we ever worked with somebody and they're in the way? And you're trying to get this done and that done, and then you bump into them. Oh, excuse me. Boom, excuse me. Boing, boing, boing. Huh? And you say, just like to your kids, you say, will you please get out of the way? What's the matter with you? Are you sleeping? How many hearing this? Are you asleep? See, the only move when someone yells coffee break or punch out time. Rest of the day, they shuffle around and they're in the way. I'm a coming. I had one young man down here. I don't even mention one day. And he had this look on his face like he was getting ill. I mean, you know, he was coming down here. He had to come down, court referral. And he had this look on his face like he was getting ill. I says, is there something wrong with you? Are you here to volunteer your time? No, he says, I'm a court referral. Well, I have to be here. No, I said, you don't have to be here. I have to be here. You can go anytime you want to. No, I got to get all my time in. I got 20-some hours to put in. He waited until he slept until the last 2 days, and now he's got 20 hours or 16 hours to do in 2 days. No, I have to put this time in. I said, no, you don't have to do anything. And I don't have to look at this face either. You can go anytime. Because, see, I need people that are awake to serve these people down here. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm sure you can comprehend what I... Are you asleep?
That was part one, Wake Up. Be sure to listen on Sunday for part two. That is, if you can stay awake.
Get ready, you got to move.